John, chapter 8, starting at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come.
I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. So said C.S. Lewis. We're dealing this evening with one of the most famous sayings of Jesus. It also happens to be our memory verse for the series. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, without Jesus, we're in the dark, spiritually. We cannot see the truth about God. We cannot see how we should live. In the light of this truth, everything else falls into place. By the light of Jesus, we see everything else. Jesus' opponents challenge him for having no witnesses to back up this claim. Jesus argues that God is self-authenticating, just as light is self-authenticating. Gasson Thomas leads one of the few public churches that emerged in Baghdad after Saddam Hussein was toppled. His congregation erected a sign on their building that said, Jesus is the light of the world. But the church was raided by bandits who left behind a threat on a piece of cardboard. It read, Jesus is not the light of the world. Allah is. You have been warned. The note was signed the Islamic Shiite Party. Well, in response, Pastor Gasson loaded a van with children's gifts and medical supplies, which were in critically short supply following the Allied invasion. And he drove to the headquarters of the Islamic Shiite Party. After presenting the gifts and supplies to the Sheikh, Gasson told the leader, Christians have love for you because our God is a God of love. He then asked permission to read from the Bible. And Gasson turned to Jesus' words here in John 8. I am the light of the world. He then showed the cardboard note to the Sheikh. The Muslim leaders, astounded by Pastor Thomas's actions, apologized. This will not happen again, the Sheikh vowed. You are my brother. If anyone comes to kill you, it will be my neck first. The Sheikh later attended Pastor Thomas's ordination service at the church. That's what C.S. Lewis means by saying that the light of Jesus enables us to see everything else. These Christians in Baghdad were motivated to win Muslims for Christ because they had found in Jesus the light of the world. Their own lives had been lit up, and now they wanted to light up others. Well, that's a very good model for us, isn't it? Have you experienced the light of the world? Are you shedding the light of the world? Three things to show you tonight. The light of the world has come. The light of the world gives light. And the light of the world is God. And they're on the sheets on your tables, those headings. So verse 12, Jesus speaks again to the people. I am the light of the world. John has already told us in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's central to John's gospel that Jesus is the light of the world, the light of all mankind. Jesus is like a lighthouse. He shines in the darkness of our world. There's a competition between the light of Jesus and the darkness. The darkness is very strong. Darkness is all around us. Evil, sin, human suffering, all very dark. But Jesus, the light of the world, the light of all mankind, shines stubbornly. It's always very powerful when John 1 is read at Christmas time. It's dark outside. The church is lit by candles, symbolizing the light of all mankind. And someone stands up and declares, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite family breakdown, despite human cruelty, despite rampant atheism, the darkness has not overcome the light of Jesus. Jesus is like that lighthouse, sending out its light into the world. This is the second of seven I am statements in John. These I am statements are all claims by Jesus to be God, as we'll see in a moment. Jesus makes this statement in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles with its great burning lights. During the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a great ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple, which involved the ritual lighting of four golden oil-fed lamps in the court of women. These lamps were huge, 75 feet high, lighted in the temple at night. And they were to remind the people of the pillar of fire that had guided Israel in their wilderness journey. And in the context of these lights, Jesus stands up and says, if you think these lights are bright, look at me. I am the light of the world. That would be laughable if it were not true. If I were to stand up and say, come to me and I will light up your life so perfectly that you will see everything clearly, that would be a joke or a lie. But Jesus can say this in all seriousness. I am the light of the world. Light, of course, is a recurring Old Testament theme. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God is our light. God's word is our light. God is our light, and he shines it by his word. Now, here is Jesus saying, I am the personification of the light of God's word. Whatever Psalm 27 says about God being our light, I am that light. This is either true or it's blasphemy. You must decide if it's true. We could go around this room and listen to each Christian explain how Jesus is the light they live by. So secondly, the light of the world gives light. Verse 12 again. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does it mean to walk in darkness? It's the absence of the light of God's word. Groping blindly through life. And that's what our society is doing. I studied the 19th century for my sabbatical project. There was much that was awful. Lack of modern medicine. Lack of sanitation. Life could be very dark. But in 1859, the year I studied, the gospel spread like wildfire. Society was lit up by the light of Jesus. So children went to Sunday school. They were equipped for life's challenges with the light of Jesus. Hardly anyone got divorced. Families stayed together. People worried because only 50% of the population went to church. Now it's 5%. There was great darkness. There was alcohol abuse. There was prostitution. But many people followed Jesus. Many people were rescued from walking in darkness. Many people had the light of life. How we need Christians to shine the light of Jesus into our society once again. To be in the darkness means to be in sin, estranged from God. This is a promise that we'll have God's light in this life and in eternity, the light of life. In other words, we're saved from the darkness of sin and death and hell. So the light of the world has come. The light of the world gives light, and the light of the world is God. The use of the phrase, I am, is a claim to be God. I am is the name by which God reveals himself, for example, to Moses at the burning bush. Verse 13, the Pharisees challenge Jesus because he's appearing as his own witness. This is the language of the law court. The Pharisees set themselves up as the judge. Jesus is on trial. Jesus is his own witness. And the law required two witnesses. As always with John, there is great irony here. The irony is, Jesus is the one ostensibly on trial, when all the time, he's the one in absolute control. He is actually the judge. We will all stand before him. C.S. Lewis again. The ancient man approached God, or even the gods, as the accused person approaches his judge. For the modern man, the roles are reversed. He is the judge. God is in the dock. He is quite a kindly judge. If God should have a reasonable defense for being the God who permits war, poverty and disease, he is ready to listen to it. The trial may even end in God's acquittal. But the important thing is, man is on the bench and God is in the dock. How does Jesus respond to this? Essentially, he argues that because he is God, nobody else can verify his identity except God himself. And that is exactly what the Father does. Verse 14, Jesus claims his own testimony is valid because he knows where he came from and where he is going. Unlike the Pharisees, who have no idea where he came from or where he is going. The answer, of course, is that he came from God and is going to God. As such, God is self-authenticating. Verse 15, the Pharisees judge by human standards. Jesus does not pass judgment by mere human standards. He is God. But if he does judge, his decisions are true, verse 16, because he judges with his Father. He's God. Therefore, verses 17 and 18, Jesus fulfills the requirements of the law because the Father is Jesus' other witness. This is like John 5, 36 to 38, where the Father is testifying for Jesus. I have a testimony weightier than that of John. Jesus has just described John as a lamp that burned and gave light, just as we can be lamps of the light of Jesus. But Jesus does not rely on the testimony of John or any other human being. 5:36, I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. So, Jesus' miracles testify that he is from the Father. 5:37, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. The Father does this. The Father testifies in 5:38, through the scriptures that testify about me, says Jesus. Well, back in John 8, verse 19, where is your Father? They ask. Jesus argues that his opponents know neither him or his Father. If you know the Son, you know the Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus and the Father are one. Verse 20, Jesus says all this openly in the temple. But no one seizes him because his hour has not yet come. As God, Jesus is in complete control of when he goes to the cross. Well, are you in the light or in the darkness? Are you a Christian? Have you come to see that life without Jesus is dark? the darkness of making up your own morality or accepting the dark morality of our society. If you've never come into the light before, why not come tonight? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Come and be transformed and empowered. Like the Iraqi Christians reaching out to the Shiite party with the love of God. Come into the light. But if you are in the light, you are a Christian. Why flirt with going back into the darkness? The darkness looks so attractive sometimes. Sexual promiscuity, materialism, wrong pleasures, all look so attractive until you realize you're in the dark again. You've wandered off the lit path. You've wandered away from the light of Jesus, and you're back in the dark. Are we still in the light? Every Christian should be asking that question. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. The Apostle John reflected on this teaching that Jesus is the light of the world. God is light. There is no sinful darkness in him. If we claim to have fellowship with God, we cannot walk in the darkness. Don't be tempted to go back to the darkness of the world. Whatever your temptation is, it's not worth it. It is infinitely better to walk in the light and then to enjoy fellowship with one another. Sin spoils human friendships. And to enjoy fellowship with God. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, so we can enjoy that relationship with God. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Come into the light. Stay in the light. And if you have wandered off into the darkness, as we all do sometimes, there's forgiveness. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus died for all the times we go back into the darkness. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. There's no need to stay in the darkness. Come back into the light. Receive the forgiveness God offers and walk in the light. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the light of the world. Thank you for most of us here tonight. He has lit up our lives, lit up our path, so we can see the truth about you. And we can live our lives walking in the light. Father, if there are any here tonight who are still in the darkness, cause them to come into the light of Jesus. And Father, where we're tempted to sin, Lord, impress on us the folly of wandering back into the darkness. And cause us, Lord, to walk closely with Jesus in his light. Lord, for any who've come here tonight, knowing that they've wandered off and they've been in sin, Lord, grant each one of us true repentance and trust in Christ and in what he's done for us in paying for all our sin on the cross. So Lord, we put our trust in you afresh. We commit ourselves to living for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.